We all know George. He's a real career man, extremely dedicated to his work and his profession. And he's always at the office. Early in the morning, his car is already there. And late in the evening, long after everyone else has gone home, his car is still parked in his spot. The view of George around the office quickly changes. He even gets a promotion until a collection of menus and other windshield advertisements spoil his luck. We all know George. George Costanza from Seinfeld. And George is actually, as we all know, horrible at his job. One episode, George's car breaks down and he's unable to drive it home from work. So he decides to leave it in his parking space outside the office. George enjoys the perception that he is a hard and dedicated worker, all because of a broken down car. The truth is, perception matters. How we are viewed impacts our lives and leaves a lasting impression on others. Our tradition agrees, mandating that we behave in ways even to avoid the appearance of bad behavior. The concept of Maariv Ayin demands that we go out of our way to prevent others from forming misleading perceptions. A classical example of how Maariv Ayin governs our actions in antiquity. It wasn't uncommon for Jews to frequently encounter idols in the outside world. So the Talmud tells us, a person standing in front of an idol gets a splinter. He does not take it out. A person standing in front of an idol drops a bunch of coins. He does not pick them up. A person standing in front of a human sculptured drinking fountain does not take a drink. Since an onlooker may mistake what that person is actually doing, removing a splinter, picking up a coin, or taking a drink, it is forbidden to bend down. Maariv Ayin, in this case, is the rabbi's concern that an onlooker will assume that Jews are allowed to worship idols. And if that onlooker is Jewish, he or she may be led to do the same thing. On Pesach, on Passover, we swing into hyper kashrut. And every year, people want to know, what's the deal with rice and beans? It's okay for Sephardim to eat them, but not okay for Ashkenazim to eat them? Maariv Ayin is behind the difference. Sephardic authorities permit these foods, which we call kitniyot, and Ashkenazic rabbis do not. And not because the actual rice or beans are leaven or chametz. They're not. Rather, because kitniyot were uncommon for Ashkenazic Jews, these authorities felt that kitniyot, when cooked, could easily be confused for chametz. This, of course, could not happen in Sephardic communities where kitniyot are commonly eaten. Ashkenazic rabbis, they feared that if kitniyot were permitted and were misidentified, the effects could be harmful. One could perceive that it is okay for Jews to eat bread products on Passover. Laws like the prohibition of kitniyot, which are motivated by Marit Ayin, demonstrates the rabbi's commitment to avoiding misperceptions. These laws demonstrate that our tradition recognizes the power of perception. Perceptions are influential. They have the power to transform our opinions of others, our opinions of ourselves, and they also influence our actions. Knowing that others will see shapes our opinions and encourages us to behave in a more refined manner. Before dropping the kids off at the movies or at the mall or at a party, what is every parent's last word of instruction? Be on your best behavior. When I enter a store wearing a kippah, I always try and be extra nice to the clerk, no matter what type of service I receive. And why? Perception. We care what others think of us, how they experience their interactions with us. We care about perceptions, and this often serves a good purpose. Even God is influenced by perception. As the nation stands on the border of the promised land, men are sent to scout the land. And after 40 days, the scouts return. They warn the Israelites that they will be crushed if they attempt to conquer the land. Moses insists, "No, God will guide us to victory." But because of a lapse in faith in God, the Israelites panic. They refuse to mobilize and they rebel against Moses and Aaron. Then God intervenes. Out of frustration with the Israelites, God threatens them with a plague and threatens to disown them. The power of perception saves them. Moses tells God, "If you kill them now, while they are still wandering in the wilderness, the Egyptians and all other people will perceive that you are a weak God, a God unable to fulfill your promise to bring them to the promised land." Moses' appeal here is not based on the merits of the Israelites. They're not saved because of what they do. It's not an appeal based on compassion or the mercy of God. It is an appeal based on perception. Because God cares how he is perceived by other nations, he does not kill the Israelites, nor does he disown them. The concern of perception saves the Israelites from harm and from destruction. Instead, they are sentenced to 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. Concern over perception often leads us to pursue more positive paths. Yet, When we become overly concerned with perception, we fail to be real. When bound to and dependent on the perception of others, we sacrifice our distinctive individuality. To accommodate popular perception, we often whitewash the soul. The Kutzker Rebbe captures this best. If I am I because I am I, and you are you because you are you, then I am I and you are you. However, if I am I because you are you, and you are you because I am I, then I am not I, and you are not you. The Kutzker goes on to say that God loves individuality and creativity. Uniqueness, novelty, and creativity all suffocate in the individual who is overly concerned by the perception of others. Perception is a powerful force. It inspires our best behavior. It serves to safeguard our decency and conduct because we know others are watching. Yet, it threatens to wipe away our individuality if we become overly concerned by it. May we have the strength to recognize the complex nature of perception, allowing it to motivate us towards holy pursuits while retaining our distinct being. Shabbat Shalom.